the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This man, Jairus, is called by St. Luke a ruler of the synagogue. According to Father Lawrence Farley, that means that he would be one of the people at the synagogue who would have the duties and responsibilities of taking care of the synagogue building, kind of the warden. And also he would have the duty and responsibility of arranging for the services. Not quite the choir director, but the one who would arrange so that the services could be done. And so he is a man who follows the law of Moses closely. He comes, making his way through the crowd, to Jesus and asks Jesus to come to his house to heal his only daughter, the only child that he has, the light of his life, you might say, who is ill. But in the midst of this crowd, before that can take place, someone comes from his house and tells him, "Don't bother, your daughter is dead." Jesus goes anyway to the house and takes with him Peter, James, John, and the mother and the father up into the room where the young girl, this 12-year-old girl, that means so much to her parents and especially to her father. And he raises her from the dead. Now this miracle is not just a miracle. It's not just a temporary suspension of the laws of nature. It is a symbolic act. Jairus has followed the law. The law cannot give life. But Jesus, the Christ, he can give life. Life is his to give. This is a lesson that the Galatians, all of the people of the little churches in Galatia, need badly to hear. Paul is having difficulty with them because on the one hand he's being persecuted by the Jews for preaching Christ, his resurrection from the dead, this new faith. And on the other hand, there are these converts from Judaism who insist that anyone who becomes a Christian still needs to be circumcised. They claim that they believe the teachings of St. Paul and the apostles about Christ, but still they insist that those who come into the Christian faith need to be circumcised. They're claiming this, they're forcing people by calling on them to be circumcised, and the circumcisions have been going on. These people are pleasing the very Jews who are persecuting St. Paul. They are returning to the faith that they ought to have left behind when they confessed Christ crucified. And St. Paul accuses them of preaching and teaching that circumcision is necessary just to escape persecution, and not just the persecution by the Jews, but also to escape the spiritual effort that comes along with accepting that they, as St. Paul says, as Christians are co-crucified with Christ, crucified to this world. The values and the ties that bind of this world have been cut off for the sake of a new life. Jairus' care for the synagogue and for the services of the synagogue and his following the law, it could not give life to his daughter as Christ did. Dying on the cross, arising from the dead, Christ gives life to all of those who unite themselves to him, who die a death like his and arise to a life like his that is not bound by the values and the deathly consequences of this world. But the Jews who become Christians and then insist on circumcision, they have returned to the old faith. St. Paul is agonized over these people because they have lost the new life. Even though they confess with their mouth, their practices, their way of life returns them to the old life and robs them of the resurrectional life that we can live in this world at one with Christ. St. Paul says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." The eternal life that is active in St. Paul is what all Christians who have died to themselves, died to the world, been co-crucified to the world with Christ, have. And the Jews have lost this. Father John Baer puts it like this. He says that the cross stands and the world turns. The Jews who have abandoned their faith, they have returned to a chaos of change in the world that even the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ has not yet stopped. At the end, when he returns, all things will be made as they ought to be. But for the time being, it is through us human beings, within us, that the change that Christ has permanently made in the world, as he reestablishes the dominion of our humanity through himself in the world, the Christ, the one who is the new Adam, the one through whom our humanity might be lived out in the world. It's only through him that we can deal with the chaos of life, with the chaos of the world around us. There is no other stable point. The Jewish converts who return to their Judaism, to their faith in the law, they have lost that stable point. For ourselves as Christians in the midst of a fully secularized world, we have to ask ourselves, what sign might there be in our lives as Christians that is similar to what circumcision was for the Jews? The sign that we are still members of the old faith, a faith in the world, a faith that cannot give us life. At one point, it was simply a matter of a grain of incense. Doesn't matter, it's just a grain of incense. For someone else, it might be the pursuit of some kind of effort in the world that in some essential way compromises us in ourselves. It's always amazing to me how oftentimes it's not so much a matter of the action or the thing that we do, but what the significance of that action is spiritually. St. Paul says circumcision, uncircumcision, that's not where the problem lies. At one point, when circumcision serves for the salvation of a family, he performs a circumcision himself on St. Timothy, I believe it was. But these Jews who are converts to the Christian faith and abandon the Christian faith, for them, circumcision is the maintaining of a oneness with the Jewish community that denies Christ. The Jews are overjoyed because this has become a way for people who have become converts to Christianity to become converts to Judaism. Even if they had never been Jews to begin with and converted to Christianity, they're circumcised, they return to Judaism. It's a matter of where our true faith lies. Whether our faith is in the world that has no power to give us life, or whether we are willing to be co-crucified with Christ and live a life of spiritual discipline that separates us from the world. This time of the year is always especially difficult for Orthodox Christians. The fall and winter season, where claims of the world are made upon us at a symbolic level. Secular feast days that demand our compliance or we cut ourselves off from something. It seems almost impossible to resolve. For me, the intensity increases until we reach that day that we spend a 40-day fast preparing to celebrate the nativity of Christ. And by that time, the claim of the world on us, the effort to compromise our faith in Christ, a faith not of this world, a faith that has to do with abandoning our love of the things of the world, a faith that demands our cutting off the desires and the passions of the flesh on behalf of the new life that is given to us in Christ, it reaches a white, hot heat by the time we get to the day of the celebration of the Nativity of Christ. We have been tested. This is a spiritual time of testing. We have to remember that St. Paul says it's not a matter of the thing itself, it's not a matter of circumcision or uncircumcision, neither one will save you. Standing against one of these secular claims on our life, rigidly and legalistically, that won't save us either. It won't save us from compromise. It will only show and reveal that we are still of the old faith, of the old world. But we do have to take the challenges of this world against our faith in Christ seriously. It is part of the spiritual discipline of effort that we make in the midst of our lives. And every time we fall prey to one of these temptations, repentance is always there for us. Reconversion, repentance, they're the same thing. Reconversion to Christ, repentance, is always open to us so that He can bring us back into the shared life that He gives to us, that He has given to us together. This is part of our spiritual challenge, and it's part of the message to us that has to do with the Judaizers, who at a formal level were willing to follow all of the teachings. But when it comes right down to it, they cannot bear to cut themselves off from the covenant of the law, the covenant of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.